Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 2. And what we're talking about, we've started a series last week about six looks at Jesus. And we're going to look at six different aspects of his life and who he was and who he is, even still today. And last week we talked about the baby Jesus, and how, you know, why did he have to come as a baby? And there was a specific reasons for that, because he needed to be able to identify with us in every part of humanity, and we need to be able to identify with him. And so if he came different, you know, if he just showed up on the scene as a man, we wouldn't be able to identify, and we certainly wouldn't think that he could identify with us, even as infants and babies and children and what we have to go through. And so that's one of the reasons why he came as a baby. Today we're going to look at Jesus as the miracle worker. And there are about 35 miracles recorded in the New Testament performed by Jesus Christ himself. And we don't have time to go through all of those. So I'm going to take you to the very first one that we have recorded of his first miracle of recorded. I can't even say that right. First recorded miracle of Jesus Christ. There we go. All right, y'all. The electronics are having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. I was in the emergency room Monday with a kidney stone, and I've been fighting it all week long. And let me tell you something. I never knew what my wife went through. She's like a kidney stone builder over here, and I was like, "You're such a sissy. Just get up and finish cleaning the house." And I didn't really say that, but you know, I thought, "Come on, how bad can that be?" And I now understand, and it's bad. It's bad stuff. So I think we all have struggles, and I know that the weather outside is not good, and the time change and all that. So I know that you even had struggles getting here. If you had a struggle getting here this morning, raise your hand. All right. Okay, we're all in the same boat then. I'm glad. Does that sound bad for me to say I'm glad to know you had struggles this morning? I'm glad to know that we can identify with one another, because we all struggle through life, right? Okay. We're going to talk about how Jesus can help us overcome, and he can work to overcome some of those struggles in our life. John chapter 2, really just at the beginning of the chapter, I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, "On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.'" This reply of Jesus, it sounds kind of curt. It sounds kind of disrespectful in the English, but please understand, in the original language, there was no disrespect or curtness or shortness intended. He says, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And this passage, this verse, this verse number 5, Jesus said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." That's where I'm going to focus today, because if we look at this miracle or the majority of any other miracles, particularly those performed on somebody else or for somebody else, there's a commonality in all of those, and we're going to find it in here in just a moment. "Do whatever he says," Mary told the servants. You know, it was good advice then. And guess what? It's good advice now. Do whatever he says. Charles Spurgeon says this: "When Christ is about to bestow a blessing, he gives a command. To the blind man, he said, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' To Lazarus, he said, 'Come forth.'" And if we look through most of the other miracles, we find that there is a command given. The feeding of the 5,000. In John 6, verse 10. Do I have that verse? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There were plenty of grass in that area, and the men sat down. about 5,000 of them, okay? What was the command? Sit. What's the next verse say? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were sitting. So if you didn't obey the original command, how much food did you get? Sit down. Now those of you that obeyed get to be distributed to the food gets distributed to you as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Only those who obeyed the command got the blessing. Let down your nets for a catch. Y'all remember that one? If they hadn't let down the net for the catch, I suppose if Jesus really wanted to prove a point, fish would just start jumping in the boat, which is not unheard of. To the lepers, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were healed. They had to obey. They had to obey. How about this one? To the lame man, take up your mat and walk. If the lame man would have said, yeah, funny, Jesus. Good joke. I'm lame. I can't get up. I'm staying right here. I'm lame. Showing no faith, no obedience to the command. I don't know. But what we see is that he obeyed. He got up, took up his mat, and walked. Jesus walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, what? One word. Come. A command. How was Peter going to get to him if he didn't obey the command? How was Peter going to experience the miracle of walking on water if he did not obey the command? Come. Come. Over and over we see Jesus performing miracles, but they almost always are preceded with a command. None of the other Gospels record this first miracle of Jesus, this turning of the water into wine. And John later tells us why he reported this and the other miracles in the book of John. In John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Why did the miracles occur? So that people would believe and they would experience life through the name of Jesus Christ. If we go back to John chapter 2, verse 11, at the very end of this little story, he concludes it by saying, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Believing in the miraculous results in another miracle. You see that? They believed in the signs that Jesus performed. Thus he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him because they believed the miracles and then believed in Jesus Christ, and they got eternal life. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. If you want to see the miraculous things in your life, you have to do whatever he says. You have to be obedient. That is a prerequisite for experiencing the miraculous in your life. Do whatever he says. Like Mary told the servants, do whatever he says. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If you have the New American Standard Version, it says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. It may be a simple act of faith, believing that what he said is true. Believing that what we have recorded in Scripture is actually true. It may be taking some form of action that enables God to work in your life. Take, for instance, an exam. Anybody ever remember taking exams? I know we sent all the kids out, so we can't. I just finished a round of school back in Christmas. I remember taking exams. It's one thing to ask God for a miracle of passing the exam and then going outside and playing, or going fishing, or going bowling, or whatever it is, hanging out with your friends, and then asking God to do them miraculously just to place the knowledge in your head. Okay, that's one thing. It's quite another to ask God to provide a miracle of passing this exam and then diving into the books and studying and studying and studying and then asking God for the miracle of recalling the information to your mind when you're asked to put it on the paper. Okay? You see, there's a difference in obedience there. When you're asking for the miracle, God doesn't typically say, well, just kick back and relax. I'll take care of everything. Normally, God says, you want a miracle? I'm up for that. And here's what you must do. What is God telling you that you must do? I tell you, I've never passed an exam. Let me step back. I have miraculously passed some exams in my time, but never have I passed one where I didn't be obedient to study first. Now, I believe that it's a miracle that I could recall some of that stuff, you know, but I'm just saying we've got to be willing to do our part. What is God telling you to do today? If you want the blessing of a miracle, you must be obedient to what he says. And how do you know what he says? Y'all are going to get sick and tired of me telling you this. But if you want to know his words, you have to read his word. There's no other way around it, folks. Yeah, you've got people that are telling you right and left, that, oh, yeah, yeah, well, God will just, you know, he can speak to you in this, and certainly he can speak in many other ways. But I'm going to tell you, primarily, God's going to use the word that he's already given to speak to you. And it's right here. By the way, if you needed one, I've got plenty of them. I'll give you one. I'll give you two. And if you want one to give somebody else, I'll give you three. I don't care. I'll give them until I don't have any more. And then when that happens, I'll go get some more. Because this is life. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. You see, God does all the work. He already did all the work. All we have to do is have faith. We have to respond to the command to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. The miracle of that is it's not even your faith. He gave you the faith to express. Isn't that cool? I mean, he really has done all the work. All you have to do is act upon that faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have life through his name. Jesus is the miracle worker. He can transfigure. He can transform. He can work the miracle of a new birth for you so that you have spiritual life that is eternal. But you have to do something. And it's not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you earn your salvation or you have to work for your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But it's responding to the command. There's a difference between working and earning something and responding to a command. If you want God to work the miracle of salvation in somebody else's life, you've got to pray. You've got to take advantage of every opportunity to talk about salvation and to live it out before them and be doggedly persistent about it. If you really want to see God work through a ministry in this church, you've got to be obedient and get involved in it. Yeah. I want the miracle of this ministry. I want Dolan Baptist to do this ministry. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait till it happens. Maybe the reason you want the miracle of that ministry is because God has put it on your heart. And the command is, get involved. And if you'll be obedient, you can see the miraculous. There are many, many things I believe God wants us to be doing here so that he can work miraculously, but few are willing to step up. Few are willing to step up and let God work through them in order to accomplish it. And I'm praying for that to change. Most of us want to just sit back and relax and expect God to work miracles right and left, but what we've seen in Scripture is that Jesus almost always gives a command that requires obedience before the miracle happens. Earlier, I mentioned the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus told his people to sit down. that he distributed to those who were seeking. They had to obey to be blessed. Friends, we're no different. We're no different. How can we expect to be blessed if we're not going to be obedient? Mostly adults in here. If you've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about, right? Child, go clean your room. Room did not get cleaned. Oh, that's okay. Let's go get ice cream. Come on. No, you want the treat? You want the reward? You got to do the work. I told you to clean your room. Clean your filthy room. And spray some Febreze. I don't know what that is that's coming out of there, but it's something. They had to sit down to be blessed. We have to be obedient to be blessed. What is God telling you to be obedient in today? I believe someone needs to be obedient to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. And I'll tell you this. I don't know why this keeps coming up, but you need to know where my passion is. And I've explained this to several people here lately, but I'm going to tell you this morning. My passion is that I truly believe, that there are people in churches all across this world who are sitting there thinking, well, I've done all that stuff. I've done what it takes. I did the mechanisms. I walked the aisle. I shook the hand. I filled out the paperwork. I checked the right boxes. I got wet in the Dunkin' booth. I did all of those things. I even pay my tithes almost regularly, okay? And then so that means I'm a Christian and I'm secured and good. Doesn't mean I have to change my life any, but I've done all those things. And let me tell you something. I believe a passion within me is to help people understand that is a lie. You know, we had this old pastor named Ron Boswell. I love him. He was an interim pastor. But man, he would say something like, that lie has the stench of burning sulfur all over it because it came straight out of the pits of hell. And that's the truth. The truth is, if you have experienced Jesus Christ, your life cannot remain the same. And if it is remaining the same, you need to seriously question whether or not you know Jesus Christ. And I believe that there may be somebody even in this room this morning that you need to question that. I got to preaching, got off my notes. Why would God bless disobedience? I don't believe he does. And so I think it's time we obey. Now, speaking of miracles and all that, and do y'all believe miracles happen today? Amen. I mean, some of y'all didn't hear me. Do y'all believe miracles happen today?
Yes.
All right, I do too. And we hear about them all the time, and we also are kind of leery of people who claim to have experienced or miracles, right? And why is that? Huh? Because we see what we would consider just fakes and phonies and people doing all kinds of weird and goofy stuff and for ulterior motives and all that stuff. And listen, I'm not going to be one of those preachers that tell you to come to the front and I'll give you a miracle. I'm not going to do that. I can't give you the miracle to begin with. I'm no different than you are. We're the same. Miracles come from Jesus Christ. He's the miracle worker. But make no mistake, God will not be manipulated. You see, he's not our puppet on a string. And a lot of times people think, well, I'll just go to God and I'll get my miracle. I'll pray to him and I'll say it in Jesus' name. And because I said that, the Bible tells me that if whatever I ask, he has to do it. Oh friends. Don't get caught up in that. That's a misconception of the truth. God is in charge. He's the miracle worker. And when we believe and act according to what his will is, there's nothing he won't do. He'll move mountains to help you accomplish what his perfect will is for you in your life. But while I cannot guarantee almost any miracles, I can guarantee you one. I have some of your attention now, don't I? I have plenty of scriptural support for it to be able to make that claim. And I guarantee you this. And if you will confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. And that is the miracle that blows all other miracles out of the water. Eternal life? Are you kidding me? What have I done to earn that? It's a miracle that God even offers it to me. I tell you, I believe so strongly in heaven. I believe so strongly in heaven. I am so fired up and excited to go. I don't want to press it. I want to be here as long as God wants me here. But when that time is done, I know where I'm going. And I'll tell you this. I believe, as far as miracles go, because I believe that that's a miracle. I believe that that's a miracle that I get to go to heaven. If you know me very well, you would say, yep, that's a miracle. But here's what I think. I believe that if I had some sort of terminal illness, okay, and you can fill in the blank because there's a bunch of them. If I had some sort of disease or illness, it was terminal and I knew that, and I had a choice between saying, God, heal my body and make me healthy again, or I want the miracle of eternal salvation. If I had to choose one or the other, there's no question in my life. No question in my mind what I'm picking. I'm picking eternal life. That's the miracle that blows all of the miracles out of the water. Now, it just may be that God wants to give both. And that's His prerogative. And He's quite capable of doing that. We sang a song. He is able. God is able. He can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants to do it, who He wants to do it to, who He wants to do it through. If you'll be obedient. And I don't know what God wants to do in your life. I do believe that He wants to do some amazing, even miraculous things in your life. I believe that. But whatever it is that He wants to do, it's going to take obedience on your part. It takes obedience on my part. It takes listening and following the commands of Jesus Christ. As we've walked through this sermon today and talked through this passage, it's quite possible that you felt the Lord speaking to you about something. And He's given you a command to be obedient to. And so I want to ask you, what has He said to you? I'm going to follow that up with this. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And if you want to be where God is working and moving, you've got to be obedient. Time and time again, if you read through this New Testament and the miracles of Jesus Christ, whenever He acted, He always gave a command. The command, when followed, resulted in the miraculous. It's no different today. The command that you're hearing in your heart right now, if you will follow it, God will do some amazing, even miraculous things. But you've got to be obedient. What is that thing He's telling you? I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I don't know what He's telling you. Don't look at me like I know, because I don't. But I know that God's not just sleeping and that He's busy talking and speaking to you. Question is, are you listening? Are you recognizing? Now what are you going to do with it? Maybe He's telling you that yes, there's something in this church that we're lacking and you're the one that needs to fill it. Maybe that's why you're here. Or what are you going to do about it? Maybe you've been here for a long time and you've just not really been involved. What are you going to do about it? Maybe God is telling you you're too active in all these things and you're not letting other people step up. What are you going to do about it? There are so many things. Maybe somebody is on your mind and on your heart and you're thinking, oh yeah, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that message. Wow. What are you going to do about it? My coworker, my relative, they're not saved. I just pray and pray and pray. What are you going to do about it? Will you be obedient? I can't make the miracles come, but I'll tell you this, they won't come unless you're obedient. And that's where it starts. It starts at obedience. Maybe somebody needs to just be obedient for the first time and respond to the call of Jesus Christ. The first call, come, follow me. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Receive the forgiveness that only He can offer. Maybe that's where you need to be obedient today. Maybe you need to be obedient in coming back to the one who loved you first. Maybe you need to come back to Him and say, Lord, forgive me because I've fallen away. I've gone, it's been all about me. It's been all about my family and making sure they have a good time and whatever it is. And now, Lord, I understand. You're talking to me and I'm going to obey. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Maybe that's you today and you want to just kind of reaffirm your position with Christ today. Whatever your decision is, let me tell you something. You need to be obedient to it. You need to obey. Don't expect God just to start moving mountains and you're sitting there being disobedient. And to not act is disobedient. Let me explain that to you real quick. If I say, Aaron, go clean your room. And she says, okay, I will. And she sits there on the couch. She says she's willing, and she's not being outright disobedient, but she's just not doing it. Is that obedience or disobedience in your book? That's the same thing as disobedience. If God is telling you, you need to do this, and you're saying, yeah, I hear you, I do, and you're right, I do need to do that. It's not the right now. This is not the right time. It's not good for me. It's not convenient for me. That's disobedience, folks. God gives the command. Our job is to obey. What are you going to do about it? We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. I'll be in the front. If you want to speak with me and pray with me, I'd love to do that. Rebecca will be here. The altar is open. This is your time. This is not my invitation to you to respond. This is God's invitation for you to be obedient to His command. What is He telling you today? And what are you going to do about it?